Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Flown with Fina. I have a very special guest with me here today. He's a former Navy SEAL, a writer, and an actor. I have Remy Adeleke with me.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? What's up, Fina?
What's up? Gosh, so it was like, I believe 4 years ago when you and a few other former Navy SEALs came to train us, right? It was like 4 years ago.
Yeah. But yeah, you guys won the championship that year. What year was that?
Yes, it was like, I want to say, it's 2015.
Yeah, so about 3-4 years ago, yeah.
Yes, so what they did, they put us through a Navy SEAL training. And personally, I learned a lot about leadership. And today I wanted to talk to Remy about leadership because I believe it's very important within a team environment. So absolutely. Just starting off, Remy, what would you say makes a good leader?
Wow, that's a large question.
Yes. Yeah, I just had to come out.
The first thing I would say, and this is something that I'm very adamant about and I tell leaders all the time, is that as a leader, you got to care about your people. Mm-hmm. So you have to take a genuine interest in them. You can't see them as a stepping stone to your next rank or your next promotion or your next big deal. You have to see them as people with souls, with hearts, people who have families, people who live, who bleed, people, not objects. And I say that because I've worked with a lot of leaders in the past who don't view their subordinates that way, or they consistently. Away and that turned into a bad situation for an organization. I remember on my my first platoon in the SEAL teams, I had a leader who cared about his guys, and he would always check on us. He would not only ask us how we were doing from an operational standpoint, but he would ask us about our families. He would ask us about how things were back home. And, he really took a personal interest in us, and he knew almost everything about every guy in the platoon. And because of his genuine interest in us, we as his subordinates were willing to do whatever he told us to do and more because of how he cared for us. So that would be one answer. And then another answer I always give is, every great leader will never make you do something that they have not done or that they are not willing to do. So, a leader that leads, and some people say from the front, but I say, a leader who picks up a rucksack and picks up the gear and leads from the front, not just leads from the front, but leads, leads by example, who's willing to get down and dirty with his teammates as needed, because sometimes you don't need a leader to get down and dirty. You need a leader to be up front and, mm-hmm. be clean. So he can present things properly, but a leader who is willing to go that extra mile, who is willing to lead by example so that his troops can see a shining example of integrity, of hard work, and of consistency,
Yes. And like going back to, you were talking about the leader, you'd say that having a relationship with the people that you lead is very important.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe we're emotional beings, that's yes. the way we are created. And so I truly believe in the power of relationship. Now, obviously, it has to be an appropriate relationship. Some people can take it far and create inappropriate relationships, but there has yes. to be some type of a healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. And especially in business, when you're dealing with big deals or, big situations, and you have team members that you're working with, it's important that you have a healthy relationship, because part of a healthy relationship is trust. Part of a healthy relationship is attitude,
yes.
each other. So absolutely, it's important to have a healthy relationship.
And then, so like, how do you get people to follow you?
Wow. How do you get people? It depends on the, it depends on the situation that you're in.
Like in the team environment, because this is more like just like about like talk about sports and stuff, like, speaking in a team environment, how do you get people to follow you?
I would say, by leading by example.
Okay.
I mean, if you're a leader and when speaking from a sports, standpoint, mm-hmm. if you're on a football team and you want people to follow you, then you better be that person who's going to be early at every practice. You better be that person that's going to take extra jump shots. And that's improving on their skill set. You better be that person that's going the extra mile on the basketball court. And usually when you are that person, you know, naturally leaders will just gravitate. I mean, subordinates or people will gravitate to you. Mm-hmm. Now, you're not going to be perfect, but you have to be, everything that you do, you have to do with excellence. So, mm-hmm. so that would essentially be my answer in sublimated form, but excellence. So how do you get people to do what you do with excellence? I'm not saying you're going to be perfect at everything you do, but you have to strive for perfection, and in striving towards perfection, people are going to respect that. Mm-hmm. People are going to see your effort, and they're going to, and it's going to give them some type of drive to want to learn from you, want to operate under you. Why? Because they see you essentially leading with excellence and leading by example.
And like, that's, you're pertaining to everything, like not only on the court or field, but like also like off the field and everything as well.
Everything.
Yep.
Life in general, you know, because, you know, in sports, you know, life, you know, life is outside of itself, you know, not just inside. So yeah, I truly believe that it has to be everything. You have to be that person that's, when you're going out with the team, you're not going out there and getting drunk. I mean, yeah. You have to be that person, you know, you're going out, you're doing the right thing. You can't be that person that's going out and causing fights and causing contention outside of, because people are always watching you. Mm-hmm. And if that person is always bringing negativity around outside of the court, whether you're great inside the court, people are not going to want to follow you. I wouldn't want to follow that type of person. I mean, mm-hmm. You hear from a person who's had a lot of experience in the military and outside the military and in business. I wouldn't want to follow a person that's great in the boardroom or great on the battlefield, but they have no integrity or they can't control themselves outside of the workspace. Mm-hmm. So yeah, extends outside of the court.
Okay. And then, you know, there's a quote, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink it. How do you, like, can you lead people that don't want to be led? You know, like, how do you get through that? And like, if so, do you stop trying at some point?
It depends on the situation. You know, it's easy to armchair quarterback that answer and say, well, you should do this or you should do that. Give me an example. Give me a real world example, or maybe even a notional example, and I can kind of give you an answer. And then you can give me a notional example from another perspective, and I can.
Okay, you know, like, okay, well, like, really, the only thing with basketball, like, you know, let's say I have a teammate, and you know, I go to my coach. I'm like, coach, you know, she's not listening. You know, she just doesn't want to change. And, you know, my coach is just like, hey, like, you know, just keep getting through, and then. You know, I don't know, like, it's just, do you, you know, because the person, you know, our teammate, my teammate, you know, she just keeps fighting me, you know, do you think I will be able to get to her eventually, or?
Well, I would say in a situation like that, mm-hmm. I would, in a team, it's important that you there's always going to be one leader, but it's important that you have a council. So it's important that you have other leaders mm-hmm. around you, the team, right? You have, you know, an assistant. I don't know what the proper terminology is for a basketball team, but, you know, you have an assistant player coach, you know, assistant player leader or whatever the term. No, I hear you. But you have assistants and who are leaders in their squads or, if it's a bench team or whatever, and leader of the bench or whatever. And you get together with your leadership council. And as a council, you come up with a way to deal with the situation. And if that doesn't work, then it gets to the point where, and I don't want to use the word punishment, but I would say, you know, if one person pays, then the entire team pays. For example, you know, if you know, you have a person that's constantly late, constantly being rude, constantly disobeying orders, then as a team, you make the decision, okay, we're all going to suffer for this. Because ultimately, you know, that attitude, whatever that person is bringing to the table that's negative, that affects the team. Mm-hmm. As well. And sometimes some people need to see that in physical form. And so by showing that to them in physical form, maybe you punish the team as a whole, which means including yourself.
Yes.
Like, you know, you want to get off the basketball court, you know, at 3:00, but hey, because of what's going on with this person, or because, and if you don't want to call out that person directly, but because of what's going on with attitude issues or insubordination issues, we're going to stay on the court for another hour after mm-hmm. the coach's practice, or, you know, because you guys have NCAA, you know, rules or restrictions, then you create something else mm-hmm. That causes the team to suffer in a sense. And what's going to happen is if that person has some soul, which I'm sure they do, mm-hmm. I come to the realization that what I'm doing is affecting the entire team and I have to stop. And if they don't, then what that's going to do is going to cause the other players around that person to pull that person aside and say, listen, dude, you need to stop doing what you're doing because we've had enough. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, a person who is like that, you know, needs to hear it from other than the leadership. And when they hear it from their peers, especially a group of their peers, that sometimes is more incentive for them to say, you know what, I do need to stop. So, you know, I'm not saying that that's the perfect answer, but I would say that in a situation that you described, that would somewhat be my solution. That's kind of what we did when we trained you guys.
Yes, 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 it is.
Guys, you know, 3-4 years ago, you know, if one person made a mistake, everybody
paid. Had to pay the price. Yeah,
they paid for it. And it got to the point where, you know, some of the other women on the team, they were, you know, who were doing what they were supposed to do, started calling out the members who weren't and pushing them and saying, listen, you need to stop, you know, faking because we know that you could do this and you need to give more. But initially it didn't start out like that. Right. Initially, it just mm-hmm. us doing I think I ran you guys through a drill where if me or the other instructors caught somebody not performing a push-up right, mm-hmm. everybody paid for it. But yes. if one of the team members caught somebody in the team not doing the push-ups right, and they said something before we said something, then you didn't have to pay for it. And mm-hmm. it's, what we were teaching through that is not a snitch model, but we were teaching accountability. We were teaching yes. the importance of everybody, whether you're a leader or whether you're at the bottom of the totem pole, holding each person within that team accountable. And so essentially that would be the same model I would use if I was in that particular situation that you mentioned.
Okay. No, that was, yes, that was a very, very good answer. So like, do you believe that like leaders are born or are they made, you know, molded into a leader as they grow through like and go through experiences?
I believe both. I believe that there are people who are born natural leaders. And you know, have the skill sets, they have the genetics, they, you know, they have the wisdom and understanding, and it's intuitive. Leadership is intuitive. And then, but then I truly believe that there are leaders who can learn leadership and over the years and through probably a lot of mistakes and errors and failures. But I truly believe that, you know, leadership can be learned.
Okay. Well, like, you know, just to close things off, can you just talk about your experiences as a Navy SEAL and how what you've learned with the Navy SEALs, how that's translated to the real world?
Yeah, I mean, I have so many fantastic experiences in the SEAL teams. Mm-hmm. I think I kind of referenced some of them today. You know, working, I had a chance to work with some of the greatest guys on the face of the planet. I mean, guys who I'm closer to, I'm closer to some of them than I am some of my own, you know, siblings and mm-hmm. family members. So it was a fantastic experience. And, you know, the lessons that I learned, you know, I've shared some of them on the call, but I learned a lot about leadership and every day I'm applying that in my business and what I do in writing and other stuff that I deal with. I learned a lot about communication. That was probably one of the biggest lessons I learned. It's not communicate, it's about how you communicate, what you mm-hmm. communicate. And I learned, you know, big time in my time in the teams. And you know, I find that in business, you know, there's often what causes a lot of conflict and contention in business and probably in sports as well is not that one person is bad and the other person is worse. It's that the community is a breakdown in communication.
Yeah.
So there's a message that was received, but it wasn't received in the way that it was sent. And we're all different human beings and we all interpret messages differently. And so, you know, it's important that you communicate in a way that you don't just understand, but you communicate in a way that the person that you're communicating to should understand. And so that's one of the key lessons I learned as well in my time in the SEAL teams. And again, that's something I apply in my business and writing and speaking, and even in family. You know, I'm married, mm-hmm. I have kids, and you know, Communication is huge, especially in marriage.
What would you say makes you guys, like the Navy SEAL men, what makes them such good leaders? What makes you guys such good leaders?
Man, I think it starts in buds. I think it starts in buds. I mean, you know, we leadership is essentially beaten to us.
Yes.
And teamwork, you know, teamwork, which is an essential element of leadership. And that's a topic I don't have time to go down. But teamwork is really beaten to us in basic underwater demolition SEAL training. A lot of people don't know this, but buds is though the attrition rate is 80% around that. Buds is predominantly a team program. Even individuals quit, it's a team program, and they beat teamwork into you. And I truly believe that one of the reasons why a lot of guys quit is because we live in an individualistic society, and we're taught from an early age to be individualistic. And so when we show up to SEAL training, and there are things that we have to do on our own, like time runs, time obstacle courses. But for the most part, when we get thrown into a team evolution, some guys just don't know how to handle it. And that breaks them down. And so I truly believe that what makes SEALs great leaders is the fact that we learn a lot of great principles that relate heavily to leadership, such as teamwork, such as integrity, you know, because an integrity is a huge aspect of leadership, you know, and buds, if you get an integrity violation, you can get kicked out of SEAL training. If you get one integrity violation.
Wow.
Integrity is a huge thing. And obviously integrity is a huge thing in leadership. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think what makes SEALs great leaders is what we go through. And as you know, like I mentioned, attrition rate is 80%. The class I graduated with started out with 270, only 29 of us graduated. So When you go through a program where only 20 to 30 guys are graduating out of a pool of, you know, 250 plus guys, you know, what's left is the cream of the crop. What's left are those guys who really understood and learned those principles that needed to be learned in order to be SEALs. And so, and those are the great leaders.
Wow. That was very deep. but you know, yeah, I just want to say, you know, just thank you for serving our country. Just finishing off with that. And just thank you for everything that you've been doing. And I see that you're doing really well, like in your acting and your writing as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, no, like that's all I have, Remy. I just want to say thank you for your time. Thank you so much for just explaining to what leadership and giving us your point of view. And like, I really wanted to interview you because, you know, like you just made a difference. And then like, I've learned like a lot when you were here, you know, training us, you know, you just really made a difference.
No problem, Fina. Hey, I appreciate you. And I had a great time working with you, and I continue to look forward to work with you in the future.
Yes, definitely. All right. Well, take care, Remy.
All right, Fina. Have a good one.
Thanks,
God bless.
You too. God bless. Bye.
All right. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.